Good morning. Welcome to the Ag Market Network. It's our April 13th edition of our monthly teleconference. I'm Pat McClatchy. We want to first thank our major sponsor, Bayer Crop Science, for supporting us and making what we do possible. I also want to recognize our distinguished cotton panel that's always with us and make a major contribution to what we do, Dr. O.A. Cleveland, Gerald Nieper, Dr. John Robinson, and Kip Butts. And joining us today will be a special guest speaker who has been part of our program before occasionally as a guest speaker, Kelly Merritt. Kelly is a fourth-generation farmer and licensed commodity broker. Her firsthand experience of hedging as a farmer herself offers a unique perspective to the markets. Kelly, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Pat. If anybody was listening to us before, we were talking about how much the market has gone up after the report, and I think maybe that's the short covering rally. Obviously, the specs have dropped their position by at least 4,000 positions and more by now, and the report, we saw it drop about 150 points after the report, and then it's just steadily gone up from them. So we are definitely seeing some opportunities to hedge here, and I'll talk about that later. The report was fairly unchanged from the month before. It didn't have a lot of big surprises, but I think some of it offered a little bit of hope and encouragement. U.S. production was decreased 73,000 bales, while ending stocks were lowered by 100,000. The numbers for planted acres in the U.S. remain steady at 8.58 million acres, and more than likely we're not going to see that change until the June report. On the world side of the report, projections for beginning stocks and production were both cut, combined with a 60,000 bale increase in consumption, which resulted in a combined 1.1 million bale reduction in ending world stocks. And, of course, anytime we can see that, we see that as a positive. Some of the numbers that stuck out to me were Brazilian production projections being cut another 100,000 bales and Australian remaining unchanged. Of course, they're the two countries that produce some of the higher quality similar to what we grow here. And some of that tends to get in demand, especially late in the season. Usage is down in Turkey by 50,000, Indonesia by 40,000, and Bangladesh by 100,000. But more than offsetting these decreases were usage projections for Pakistan were up by 600,000. So that was nice to see something that could offset the down usage. Like I said before, this has offered a chance for some hedging opportunities and some that I'd been thinking would come somewhere here soon, and it seems like it's sooner rather than later right now. The May is trading right now at 62.18, and I'm showing the 200-day moving average at 62.33, so we're just right at the 200-day moving average in May. In December, the 200-day moving average is at 62.23, and we're trading at 60.97. My thoughts are anywhere in here starts being good opportunities to hedge. Back earlier, I had thought 62 would be the highest we would see in December, and of course, anytime we see a rally, I start thinking, well, maybe we could go higher if we break through the 62.23 area. I think we could reach 65 or 66, somewhere in there, but I don't know if I'm willing to gamble seeing it get there before I start placing hedges. So I've got some prices on some different positions that we could look at this morning. If you buy a 59 put and you sell a 65 call, you could get into that for about 110 points. Which is a little over $10 a bale. That's a pretty small investment to hedge against prices dropping lower than here. And even though it's really encouraging this morning, these prices don't necessarily have to stay here. if you buy the same thing with a 60 put, it would be going for 157 points today. The nice thing about this, it's got a delta of 70. It does have a possibility of margin calls. If the market rallied above 65, you could get into margin calls. Here again, that seems like that would be a pretty safe position, but if I've learned nothing else, it's that I don't really know where the market's going. A more traditional approach, if some people want to buy just a put, there's absolutely no margin call. You can put this on and kind of relax until the market does what you'd like to see it do. A 59 put is going for 262 this morning. A 60 put is going for 310. So, and that has a delta of 43. So the little bit better delta in the fence is a bit attractive, but you do have a chance of a margin call there. A bear put spread is something that at times I really like. Right now, I don't like it as much because it's got an even lower delta than either one of the others. You can buy a 60 put, sell a 52 put, and it's going for around 246 points this morning. And no margin risk with the bear put spread, but it does have a cap on how far you can go as far as your profits. That's a position you may have to roll if the market really drops off. So, you know, there's pros and cons to any of these. Some of it depends on how risk-averse you are. Some of it depends on how much money you want to spend and just kind of your outlook on the market. And like I say, I just think anywhere between here and 62 is a good place to start putting your hedges on. Some people like to do 25%, 33%. I know some people that will do 100% of their hedges in here and then just kind of see what it does. I do believe that the 62-23 area in December is going to offer some pretty good resistance. I think we'll at least have to pull back and get momentum to go back up through it there. And just don't forget, historically, the cotton market peaks somewhere between March and June. So, you know, that puts us kind of right at a prime spot for this peak to occur. So all things considered, I just believe this could be a very good time to put some hedges on. And that's kind of my comments for today, and I'd like to hear other people's.
All right. Any other comments on the crop report, OA? Have you got any thoughts on it?
Well, I thought...
I'm sorry, you there?
Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Go ahead.
Okay. I thought the principal part of the report, the most important part, was the continuing lowering of stocks outside of China. In general, they just jockeyed numbers around for everything, but that particular idea, to me, continues to hit home, and I think that is really the basis of any price increase that came out of the report per se. I think the price increase is totally associated with the Chinese announcement over the weekend and what they have continued to do, and that's where our price increase is coming from. It's certainly following the Chinese activity, certainly much more than what was, by and large, a neutral plus, mildly supportive market, a market report. Anytime you take world stocks down a million bales, you got to pay attention to it. But it's just a situation where I think that once the Chinese took action, the market did in fact respond. And I think we started getting this response Friday, and this will continue to see the follow through.
Anybody else want to comment on the crop report?
The only observation I make, I was a little surprised that they increased the Chinese mill use by half a million bales. I 2 months ago I took it down to 31 million. They're at 32 and a half now. Not sure what they're saying. I understand that the cotton yarn market is a little bit tighter than it was several weeks ago, but I'm not sure, given the polyester prices, cotton's become a little bit more competitive. But I continue to read that they're losing shares in some parts of the spinning industry. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me that that they would choose to increase that this month. That's about the only thing in there. Well, the Pakistan increase was also a little bit of a surprise to me, but not nearly as much. That's the only thing I saw on it that would say, you know, raise sort of a suspicion or a thought that something might not be what it ought to be.
Okay. At our last broadcast, of course, we were most analysts thought 59 to 60 would be it. We'll get into the forecast looking out, but I mean, are we? Is it? Yeah. OA, how high can we go with this thing?
Well, again, with the idea that the Chinese government has told the mills that they are going to make cotton reasonably world competitive, and I think we're seeing mills begin to gear up for this much less expensive cotton coming from the Chinese government, that we can look up toward about a 65-cent, 67-cent price forecast from my standpoint. And I would just comment, Kip has an excellent point of the idea of the question, why China is going to you spend more cotton, but with China indicating that they're going to pull their domestic prices down probably within 5 cents of the current world price, that they're going to encourage their mills to start back up and make it easier for them to draw into the U.S. cotton that China has on hand, and that they're going to open up exports into China a little bit more to accommodate getting those mills back online.
Okay.
And that takes me up to 65 cents, 66 cent level. I mean, it's a long way to go. Mother Nature hasn't said anything yet.
Are you talking about July or December? What market are you talking about there, OA?
December.
Okay, good deal.
And December right now is at 60.43. OA, what about acres in the Mid-South and the Delta? Last time we talked, you know, we were seeing some pretty good contracts over here for farmers, 72 cents, 70 cents. Are we still looking at that?
We still are. March 31 planting intentions report was very optimistic. And in one sense, I'm more optimistic than that report. That report found declining acreages only in, what, North Carolina, South Carolina, and I believe one other state, but on a small amount in the other state, I believe it was. But I don't find as much cotton appearing to come back into Mississippi. I don't find a 45% increase, but a 35, 38% increase. So we're going to be very close to USDA's number. But I find almost that we could not double the USDA estimate in Tennessee, but we could increase that another 40% over and above USDA's current estimate. Missouri will be up more than USDA's estimate. I find 10 to 15% increases in both Georgia and North Carolina, contrary to what USDA finds. So, yes, I think the 9.6 is a good number. It could even be as high as 9.7 feet planted acres.
Okay. Gerald, what are your thoughts on the market?
Well, getting back to OA's commentary initially, stocks outside of China, I mean, whether you look at world less China or all foreign countries less China, particularly if you look at all foreign countries less China, I mean, we're down 6 million bales, almost 6 million bales from a year ago. and at the lowest level since 2009, if these numbers are accurate, and that certainly has to get your attention. You know, the thing that's a little worrisome is that, you know, we've run up here pretty quickly, pretty fast. We had a lot of players in the market playing the short side of this market, anticipating that the Chinese may be so cheap that they would export. Chinese never once ever said anything about exporting, so I'm not sure where anybody got that idea except, you know, roughly 20 years ago, I guess they exported some cotton. And so that was always a possibility, but I'm not so sure why people are surprised that they're not going to export the cotton. They had never indicated anything, and I think somebody got that rumor started so that the market would run down, you know, quite frankly. So you've got a huge spec short covering rally going on right now, and once it gets finished, we'll have to see what goes on. Maybe we're isolated out here in the far west, but nobody's beating our door down to try to buy cotton at higher prices. So I have a hard time thinking that we're going to go a lot further unless these shorts are just awfully scared and now they're going to try to take all their money and run it back the other way. Right now it's just money flows. And money flows are flowing the other direction right now. It's not really based on supply demand, but certainly the money flows are large enough to and have an impact well beyond, you know, what the fundamentals would suggest.
Pat, let me. This is Kip. Let me jump in here real quick on this.
All right.
I'm going to comment on the short-term rally we're getting right now. Part of this is inspired, and Gerald makes an excellent point about the short covering. I think we had several factors that sort of gave us a short-term boost here. We got a very good export sales report last week with the highest shipments of the year, good sales. I think a few people were caught a little flat-footed on that. It's a little better than they expected. But the short-term, part of the short-covering rally are this large specs that have been trading the short side. But options expire on Friday. And if you evaluate the open interest on these, part of this money flow is as this market's gone up, the open interest in your 62, 63, and 64 calls are about 10,000 contracts. And so the shorts on those are just covering that exposure on a delta basis, and that is just some buying that's coming here, and that'll be gone, of course, on options expiration tomorrow as the last trading day. But we've had a confluence of several things here that have just kind of had people coming to market on the long side. So I kind of agree with Gerald. The good export sales reports we've had have been on a lower price market. Mills typically, unless they have the expectation prices are going to rally for a long period of time, they're not big on buying. They don't like to chase the market higher. So I don't think that California is any more isolated than anyone else in the cotton industry. I do think that that comments I get from the merchants in Memphis are folks are not knocking their doors down to buy cotton either. So I think this is a short-lived rally. That doesn't mean we're going to go back to 50 cents, 51 cents, but I think this is just a short-term deal here. Next week we'll probably, tomorrow, we may get a fantastic export sales report, but I think those are going to be few and far between with the higher prices.
Okay.
That's the word that I'm getting from Lubbock merchants is that things are very, very quiet, and when we go lower, they get a little bit of demand, but it's not like they're just really knocking their doors down with demand. And, well, yesterday talking to some, there was great concern that this rally was just going to knock all demand out, and they were just like, I don't believe we're going to have buyers at these higher prices. And that's one of the reasons it's been really hard for me to believe that this could continue past getting these rolls done and getting the shorts covered in this rally.
The other side of that equation is there were a lot of mills who were continuing to wait for, you know, we ran down to 53 or 54 cents and back again so quickly. I don't know that they had a chance to really cover their needs. And I think there were a lot of mills who were waiting for 54 to 55, maybe 56 cents again to cover their needs. So we may have some more shorts in here on the physical side than we realize, and that might be part of what's going on in China right now.
John Robinson, what are you thinking?
If I may, I think we're forgetting that the Chinese mills have begun picking up a little bit of cotton. They're not picking up they're picking up more than they were. They're not picking up more as much as we expect, because the one thing the Chinese have not done that they said they would do, and they still have time to do it, April the 15th, they were going to have a catalog. It's going to be difficult to get that catalog out here in a couple of days, but they may still have it out. But the expectations are that there'll be a lot of cotton move in China because these mills are so naked. John, I apparently have interrupted your
No, that's fine. I've enjoyed listening to all this. My first thought in response to Gerald's mentioning of the rumors of exports was that I think that started on the Ag Market Network about 2 months ago is where that came from. But, my thoughts here, really I was keying off of what Kelly said, her expectation of a whole lot of resistance in the lower 60s and basing put strategies on that. And I don't disagree with her price outlook, but I'm bothered by taking hedging positions that are essentially protecting the range of prices. It's not giving us that much more than the loan. That's what I'm trying to say. If you're hedging it, if you're buying a put 60 or 61 or something like that, then you take off the cost of the put and you take off your basis in West Texas. You're going to be in an area that of protection that the loan's already given you. So I want OA's price projection to be correct. If we were in the mid-60s, then there's actually a little bit of unprotected price potential that you might consider doing something about with a hedging strategy. But I don't think, I agree that the market has to work up to that and build momentum and break barriers. And it's frankly, I think it's going to need this scenario of, we have a 9-point something planted, and then La Nina kicks in hot and dry, and things get revved up, and the funds go net long. You know, a whole bunch of things have to line up to give us a rally that's going to, in my opinion, that's going to get us futures to December to 66. It could happen, but a whole bunch of things have to line up. And if that was to happen, then I would want the grower audience to be poised and nimble to maybe try to grab that. Because I don't think, if it does happen, I think it's going to be a weather-related thing, and it's not going to last, certainly won't last till harvest time. It would be a summertime phenomenon.
All right. Any other thoughts before we get into our forecast?
One quick comment on the talking about the thoughts that China may export some of this cotton. That's been kicked around for a while, but there was a comment made by an official at the NDRC at one of these meetings in China. He made the comment that he was afraid there was more cotton in the reserve that they wanted to sell than the Chinese mills were able to absorb at this time. And I remember getting several calls right after that comment, people interpreting that to mean, well, the domestic mills are not going to be able to use it, so we're going to export it. And to Gerald's point, I think that was kind of a weak argument, but I certainly think that's where at least part of that originated. So although I don't hold it as something that the Chinese government's going to actually do, I think that's where that originated.
Okay. Well, let's start with Kelly. Kelly, give us, and you've already touched on it, but give us your forecast for where you think these markets can go, to the upside and the downside.
I think that we will at least stop and slow down somewhere before 62 on December. I'm kind of like OA, and I'd love to see us get to 65 or 66, and I've kind of thought this was a very weather-driven market. This, we're really set up for if there's a major weather event somewhere in the world, that could be what got us above where we think it could go. So on the very optimistic end, 65 or 66. On the low end, that's almost harder for me because we could go pretty low. I think 54. I don't think we'll go there, but I'll put 54 as my low.
Okay. John Robinson, give us your figures.
Just the same thought process. I would just quickly say 55 to 65 for December.
Okay. OA, how about you?
Well, I'm probably a little closer to John. I think the we've had been involved in a short covering rally, but I think this rally is fundamental dictated as opposed to short covering rally. I think we've moved the low up to around 56 cents now. It could be a 56 and a half. Let's just call it 56 points, 56 cents for the low. And I still like the idea of 65 cents. There are just too many things that can happen that can pull this market higher. And I can't discount them at this time.
Okay, Kip.
Well, unfortunately, you know, we're all in the same sort of vein here. I agree with Kelly's comment about the weather market. We could take this thing quite a bit higher. We could see 65 cents with under the right kind of conditions, poor weather or so on. But the range I have is a 64, 65 cent high for December. And the low end, we can – if things go right and the polyester continues to be a problem, I think we could see prices into the 51, 52 cents for December, when it's all said and done.
Okay,
so
Gerald?
My low end's a little bit lower than most folks.
Okay. Gerald?
Well, I think the thing that might surprise us at some point is to see a planting number, and I never thought I would say this, but just based upon commentary out there, we may end up over 10 million acres. And if that were the case and the weather didn't become a problem until much later, you know, that's going to keep a lot of pressure on December. But, as far as the nearby month is concerned, and whether that nearby month is July or December or March, you know, you're going to start running into some problems right about here. And then your next big problem area is going to be, 65 cents. So, 65 cents on the upper end, and I would have to agree with OA. 56 cents probably on the downside is keeps us contained in a fairly well-defined trading range right now. So 55 to 57 on the low side, 64, 66 on the upside.
Okay.
I think Gerald made a very significant comment. He said that the possibility of a 10 million acre planted situation, and that's very real. Folks are still talking about cotton. As I said, Tennessee, I'm picking up in Tennessee that it's going to be 75,000 acres larger than the USDA report. Now, I don't know that I believe that, but it's coming from fairly solid estimators of the past. So there is a tremendous amount of interest in cotton once again. And if that comes about, wow, who knows? We'll see.
Now that could give us ending stocks for 4.5-5 million, which, you know, that'd be a year-over-year increase, and that would certainly bring price pressure, I would think.
Well,
any
still
other
think we're going to see exports up a couple of 100,000 bales larger than the USDA projection. I was not surprised to see them leave that flat yesterday. It's too early. Historically, they're very, very, very late changing their export numbers. But I still think our carryover is still the 3.5, much closer to 3.3. So if we take it up a million, John, from my perspective, we're up to 4.3. But that's still getting to be a little heavy. But, you know, the cotton outside of China is it remains a key. Thank you.
Anything else for any other thoughts? All right. Well, let's wrap up our meeting for today, a good meeting. We want to thank again our major sponsor, Bayer Crop Science. Thank you to our cotton panel, Dr. O.A. Cleveland, Gerald Nieper, Dr. John Robinson, and Kip Butts. And special thanks to our guest speaker, Kelly Merritt. Thanks to you, our listeners. And that concludes our meeting for this edition of the Ag Market Network. Thank you.